You in suspense yesterday, didn't we, Dan? We just kind of held it over their heads, didn't we?
Shh. We got the secrets to tell today.
Shh.
Don't tell anybody this, but we're about to tell everybody.
We're going to talk about one of the secrets today that Paul unveiled to the body of Christ, namely one to the Corinthians. This has a lot to do with the body, soul, and spirit. Tell us how this has to do with the body, soul, and spirit, Dan.
Well, I'll tell you, first and foremost, the most important thing is, in order to explain this with God's spirit and power today, I am drinking coffee out of my Sheridan Zender mug, the Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show mug.
That is so a holy instrument separated unto God. For the conveyance of a caffeinated beverage to your sanctified lips. Okay, please continue.
Yeah, so if you hear me give my explanation too fast, it's because of all the caffeine I'm on right now. The reason why this is so important to the subject of soul and spirit is because we've been talking in these programs how Christendom has essentially, and I think through satanic influence, through satanic origins, has blinded the truth regarding death and resurrection. The issues of life have been absolutely distorted by religion, Christian religion being the chief. It's no wonder. I mean, the Christian religion is the chief. It's screwing everything up, and it's also going to be the chief in the end times, as we know from the book of Daniel. And I guess you and I would encourage people to flee from church steeples. So anyways, the point being is with this issue of soul and spirit, it is essential to the subject of resurrection. And what we're going to get into today is how we as members of the body of Christ are going to be wearing the image of the celestial. We're going to be given a body that is glorified. It's not a flesh and blood body. Right now we are soulish and soilish, which is flesh and blood bodies. And we are going to have bodies coming here at any moment, any time, and this is part of Paul's secrets, where we're going to experience a change as we are going to be suited. We're going to be putting on new set of clothes, members of the body of Christ. Those new set of clothes are going to be suited to our celestial allotment where Christ now is in the heavenly places. Before the Apostle Paul revealed this secret, there before that, no person ever had a hope, an expectation of having a celestial body suited to the celestial realms.
No, there was never any revelation concerning human beings being transferred to that realm, to that sphere.
And I think that's going to be the key to this phrase, this 1 Corinthians 15:50-58, is the word change and celestial.
Yeah, and Paul says, he's saying this very forcefully in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, this I am averring. The concordant makes a difference between the word saying and averring. Averring is a very strong declaration, and this is what Paul is saying, that flesh and blood is not able to enjoy an allotment in the kingdom of God. Neither is corruption enjoying the allotment of incorruption. These bodies, as you suggested, as presently constituted, can't contain the glory we are about to receive. And we saw this every time a man of God in the scriptures encountered the presence of the deity. They became undone. John falls on his face at the angel of the Lord. Moses, Paul, Saul, Daniel, whenever an angel of the Lord came in, these men hit the dirt because they were, and that was just when these angels appeared as human beings. That's even with the glory contained. If we were to behold the glory of God, if we were taken to our celestial home in these bodies, they would explode. They would explode.
You know, I think we get an illustration somewhat of that in when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. His body had amazing functions. He could appear in rooms when the doors were shut, and the apostles were gathered with him at that time, and they saw him, they recognized him, he ate fish in front of them. But when the Apostle Paul saw the glory of Christ in his celestial honors. It knocked everyone off a horse and blinded them. You know, I mean, just it created havoc. So the glory that Paul saw on the road to Damascus is going to be the type of glory we'll be experiencing. The Lord Jesus, when he appeared to Saul of Tarsus, he appeared in such a way completely different than he appeared to the 12 apostles. And you know what's interesting about this? We say that Paul's message is a secret regarding this snatching away. And resurrection was not a secret.
Right.
It's not resurrection that's a secret. It's the specific resurrection that's a secret. Notice, and I made a mistake just a minute ago, I think Paul was the only one knocked off his horse or whatever. Somebody corrected me on that once. He wasn't knocked off a horse. He was knocked to the ground, I believe. Is that what happened?
Knocked to the ground, yeah.
He was knocked to the ground. And the point being is he appeared secretly to Saul on the road to Damascus. It was a coming that was secret. No one else experienced it except Paul. And I think that's characteristic of his message. It's for a select group of people chosen
like
by God.
Yeah.
And they will leave here in the same way that he appeared to Paul. He's going to meet them, as it were, in the air, and it's going to be a secret. No one's going to know about it. The popular teaching of Christendom is that this rapture, they call it, an unscriptural term, they have this rapture happens and planes are crashing and cars are crashing and all this other stuff is happening. And I don't believe it's going to be like that at all. It's going to be a secret. I don't think it's even going to make the news. You know, maybe side news that people disappeared, stuff like that. But I think everything you learn from the popular, popular version of the rapture, everything you saw there's probably not going to take place the way it is
yeah.
in the movie.
Yeah. Rapture is a Blondie song. So the Christian version of this, as viewed on movies such as Left Behind, is completely wrong. The reason we know it's wrong is because Christianity teaches it.
Yep.
So they have this vague idea that something is coming, but they're wrong in every particular. As you say, Paul's calling was in secret, and he was the only one who heard the voice.
Right.
Or was it he was the only one who saw the light? The soldiers, people who were with him, were aware that something had happened, but Paul was listening to a voice that they were not privy to. So, and I agree with you 100% that the end of this era is going to be the same. It's going to be a secret, private affair. And we notice that any time Paul ministered, any time anything had to do with the body of Christ, there was a train of blessing, not disaster, in its wake. The one example I think of is Paul with the Philippian jailer. He
right.
proclaims there's this huge earthquake. He proclaims the word, and his jailer and his family are healed. Contrast that when Peter is in jail, and Peter escapes, and the jailer, Peter escapes just like Paul did, but the jailers are killed. So with the circumcision, which is associated with
judgment.
The tribulation, we
yeah.
have total disaster. Yeah, the tribulation, that's going to be a mess. But this, it's going to be a whisper, Dan. And you know what that means? The shocking thing that means is there are very few members of the body of Christ today. We're not saying that not everyone's going to be saved in the end. They are. We're talking about the body of Christ, very, very few.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And part of the reason we're going through this program and to let people know the seriousness of these programs that started, 2.5 weeks ago, on this particular topic. There are three subjects I believe that will keep people out of the body of Christ in some form. One is the subject of death. Two is the subject of the nature of Christ and the nature of God. And I believe the reason why there are going to be few people in the body of Christ because, well, first of all, very few. Most Christians do not believe that Christ died for their sins. They believe
right.
that he lived for them, that he only suffered in a body. We talked about this last time. They only believe he suffered. They believe in the resurrection of the body. Well, if you believe in the resurrection of the body, you don't believe in dead. You don't believe in death. You don't believe in the death of Christ. That's we learned last time, yesterday, I believe, or the day before, that term is a smokescreen. It's a deceiving term, the resurrection of the body.
And the reason that's so important, Dan, is because the death of Christ, of course, is a foundation stone of Paul's gospel, as explained by the apostle himself in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4.
And that is the foundation, and it leads us, if we believe in the resurrection, the death, burial, the entombment, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the assurance. That is the basis of our expectation. And we believe that he died and rose again, thus also those who are put to repose in him will God bring with him from the dead. And we have that event described in detail here in 1 Corinthians 15. And what is very telling in Paul is how he gives details in different aspects. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he tells us how that the way it's going to happen, the Lord Jesus is going to snatch us away and meet us in the air. In 1 Corinthians 15, he describes the change that takes place in our bodies. And then when you get to Philippians 3 and Colossians 3, it tells us where we'll wind up. So we first learn in 1 Thessalonians that we're going to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ will rise first, et cetera, and we'll be snatched away together. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, it describes the change that will take place in our bodies to suit us for this reunion. And then in Colossians 3, Philippians 3, we learn that the goal of all this is to bring us to our allotment in the celestial realms, where Paul says our citizenship is inherent in the heavens. And in Colossians 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, will be manifested with him in glory. We are going to be with Christ. He's going to take us to see him manifested before the celestial spheres. We're going to be there the day that Christ is going to be honored as the head of all creation. And right now, it's interesting, and I think we're getting a little off topic, but it's good to think about this, that Christ right now is hidden in the celestial realms. Mm-hmm. Angels don't even see him. The principalities and powers, it says our life is hid with Christ in God. And there's coming a day when he is going to be manifested, and in that day, we're going to be manifested with him. His honors, his highest glories are incomplete without us. That's an amazing thought.
That's mind-boggling. I'll never forget you teaching in Sacramento 3 years ago, maybe now, that if you want to know what our destiny is, look at Christ's destiny.
Yes.
Because our future is wrapped up with his future. Our past is wrapped up with his past. We were crucified with him. Oh, geez, that's bad news. We were entombed together with him, Romans 6. Oh, gee, that's bad news. Yeah, let's turn the coin over now. And we will be glorified with him and manifest with him. So those first two preliminaries lead to this glorious outcome. Our destiny is wrapped up in Christ's destiny. So we don't need to figure out what's going to happen to us in the future. We just need to figure out what's going to happen with him in the future. And whatever, this is unbelievable, whatever happens with him happens with us.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's something. And it tells us, and it doesn't, you know, you put out a video last weekend about your God complex and your Messiah complex.
Yes, and all these parables.
And I'll tell you, the funny thing is, it's the sign of humility to acknowledge that you are going to complete Christ. It's actually humility to recognize and to admit that God has lavished exceeding transcendent grace upon you. You know what's proud? You know what's prideful and arrogant? Is to deny it because, oh, you think you're not good enough. It's pride in the reverse. You're self-occupied.
Yes.
Somebody who appreciates grace accepts it, doesn't question it. He doesn't think about, well, I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy, stupid.
I, that would make a great bumper sticker. Of course you're not worthy, stupid. Oh,
yeah.
I love that. That's our starting point. We're not basing any of these expectations on our imaginations. How could we have dreamed any of this up, Dan? We could not have dreamed this up in our most pizza-fueled nightmares. I mean, this is something that Christ has said concerning us, and we do him a great service to simply believe what he says. It's not pride. It's not arrogance. It's not a Messiah complex. It's not a God complex. It's simply believing what God has said, and nothing pleases God more than believing what he says.
You know, I think also people are afraid. They don't want to stand up for Christ and his word. They're afraid to make statements like this. They're afraid to be dogmatic. How often have we been accused of being arrogant for heralding truth. Oh, you think you know everything. No, God knows everything. You think God's intention is that we all remain stupid the rest of our lives and that we stand on nothing, we're not sure about anything? And I'll tell you what's interesting about that view. One, it's stupid to think you can't have an understanding. You can't know for sure. You can't know what you know. And to deny that you can know what you know is to deny the Scriptures. Because the Apostle Paul said this, that for the evangel of our God did not come to you in word only, but in power also, and in Holy Spirit, and much assurance. Yet today they think it's the sign of godliness to not be sure. They think it's a sign of humility to not know for sure, not to think that you know more than somebody else, or not to think that you're right and they're wrong. It's the sign of apostasy. It's a sign of not believing God to think you don't have the answers when it comes to God's truth. That's the fact.
Amen. God, that would make a huge bumper sticker, what you just said, but I want that on my car. I'm going to have to buy a truck just so I can fit that bumper sticker, what you just said, onto the back of it. Folks, tomorrow, we're out of time, Dan, I hate to tell you. Tomorrow, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul starts this sentence with the word lo and an exclamation point. Lo, a secret to you I am telling. We're going to get into the particulars of that secret, and we're going to look forward with all you folks to the glorification of our bodies. It is coming. Hang in there. We hope you're here with us tomorrow. I trust that Dan Sheridan will be here. I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Thanks.